Hey, you guys. Welcome back to Faith and Fire, God and Country. I am Brandon Lynette, and what this is episode two of my solo journey, which means I didn't quit after the first one, so I think we're already doing better than some people. Okay, because here I am. Yeah, a little late today. Softball season is in full effect, y'all. And what time am I recording this? It's like 8:30 at night. We just got back from practice finally. So here I am. This episode has been on my heart all day. And I just want to get into that. I'm super glad you guys are here. I'm not going to be able to do this or carry on without you. Whether this is your first time, you've been here the whole time, whatever that is, welcome. Pull up a chair because you're going to need it. Before I get into it today, I just want to tell you guys real quick about something that I personally use and super, super love. And every purchase made helps me keep the light on for the show, keep the lights on for the show. And if this is the thing, I use it for my podcasting, but it is a home staple as well for a lot of different reasons because there's different solutions for people. So if you're dealing with pain or stress or your body just feels off, I really want you to look into my super patch link below. Something my husband uses for pain is Freedom and Liberty. I personally wear Liberty and Peace. It gives me the courage to sit down here and do this, and then it just keeps my body in that homeostasis state. These are zero ingredient wearable wellness patches, okay? Registered as a medical device. So if you're like, what is going on? Are you guys above? Are you good? Yeah, zero ingredients, you guys. I know it's kind of crazy. To think something like that is here, but listen, it helps with pain. So let's ditch the pills, no prescriptions. It's just your body doing what God designed it to do when you give it the right support. So you could get into my show notes here. Links are in the description of the show. And before I get started today, I do need to issue a small and final trigger warning because I'm not going to coddle you guys ever in any episode or any show. If you are new here, then this is for you, and I won't say it again. We'll go from here. Trigger warning: if you're easily offended, if you're emotionally fragile, or if you require a safe space and a therapy animal to process opinions that are different from yours, this is not your show. Actually, no, this is definitely not your show. If you are a soft Christian who ignores scripture and bends it to your comfort, this is not your show, but you are welcome to stay. I hear the people say that discomfort builds character. And for everybody else, let's get into this today. There is an actual policy. RFK Jr., the guy that they've called conspiracy theorists for a very long time, he's sitting in the chair at Health and Human Services and just. That's incredible. Yay, clap. I'm a fan. But he spent his entire career questioning vaccine safety. And now he's running the department. Okay. I think this has been an incredible choice. I've been rooting for him for a very long time and what he's doing. You guys, he went in and he fired the entire vaccine advisory committee. All 17 of them, they're gone. Replace them with people who are actually willing to ask the hard questions. He overhauled the childhood vaccine schedule. And someone needs to start reminding me to put my phone on Do Not Disturb when I'm trying to do this. He cut the number of recommended diseases from 18 down to 11. He restricted Myrna COVID shots for anyone under 65. He's changing the rules for how vaccines get tested. Okay. And let me tell you the truth about what happened, because this is going to piss you off. Over 200 medical organizations, including the AMA, that's the American Medical Association, they said they would ignore the new guidelines. A federal judge stepped in and blocked the childhood schedule changes. So think about that. The man who's literally in charge of health policy in this country made a decision, and the system said, no, we don't care. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. So I want you to ask yourself why. If the science is settled, if the vaccines are safe and effective, if there's nothing to hide, why are they fighting this hard to keep someone from even looking? And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I mean, that's a genuine question. I'm asking that. When someone tells you, don't look in that room, your first thought should be, what the hell is in that room? And if you're one of the ones who didn't take the shot, okay, congrats to us, because we're a part of a small percentage who said no, who got called selfish, who lost family, who lost friends, who lost jobs, who got uninvited from Thanksgiving dinner, who got told we're the ones killing grandma. I see you. You held the line when holding the line cost you something, and the truth is continuing to come out every single day that validates what you already knew in your gut. It's been the same for me with childhood vaccines. I knew in my gut, and now I've been validated after 23 years. You were not wrong. You were early. And if you did take it, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you that you deserved informed consent and you didn't get it. You deserve transparency and they gave you propaganda. That is not your fault. That is theirs. The truth will keep coming out. It always does. You cannot bury it forever. You cannot fund it. You cannot censor it. You can fact check it into oblivion, but the truth doesn't care about your babies. It just keeps showing up, and I'm going to be right here talking about it every single time that it does. And now, RFK Jr., and I want you to hear this quote because it is a quote. He said, "The pandemics are coming from labs, all of them. Lyme, COVID, RSV, HIV, Spanish flu, all came out of a vaccine lab. Vaccine research has created the worst plagues in our history." Now, is every single one of those verified beyond a shadow of a doubt? I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I have a lab coat on. But here's what I do know, and this is the part that should make you very uncomfortable, okay? Gain of function research is real. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's not something your crazy uncle made up on Facebook. I told you guys what they're doing with the ticks, okay? That is real. And now people are finding them all over their property. It's crazy. This is a real category of science where researchers take a virus that already exists, and they make it worse on purpose. They make it more transmissible. They make it more deadly. They make it more contagious on purpose in a lab with your tax dollars. Okay. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Your government was funding scientists to make diseases more dangerous, not to cure them, not to prevent them, but to enhance them. And they call it research. And you want to know what's wild? Trump signed an executive order banning federal funding for gain of function research. RFK Jr. himself said it. This is an area of science where scientists really play God. And he's right. That's exactly what this is. Man looked at a virus and said, I can make this worse. And then he did it. And then when it got out, because it always gets out, they pointed at a bat, and they told you to wash your hands. And this is the history that they hope you never go to Google for. And please do this. This goes back to 1947, America's biological weapons program, post World War II. Nixon shut it down in 1969, ordered the whole arsenal destroyed, and signed us into the Biological Weapons Convention. But it didn't stay dead, did it? It just changed its name. It became defensive research, it became preparedness, it became gain of function. And who was paying for it? We were. Our tax dollars go into the labs, including labs overseas, including labs in China, to fund research that makes viruses more dangerous. And when one man tries to shut it down, suddenly the entire medical establishment loses their minds. 200 medical organizations said they would ignore the new guidelines. A federal judge, imagine that, another Soros bought and paid for little character in the movie. Tried to block him. They, fired the vaccine advisory committee and the system had a meltdown. Why? Because they are fighting so hard to keep doing research that, by their own definition, makes disease more deadly. If this is about public health, if this is about people being safe, being kept safe, why do you need to make a virus worse? In what universe does that make sense? I'll tell you what universe. The universe where the disease and the cure come from the same people. Oh, are they making money from each other, off of us, both ends of this? The world where you create the problem and sell the solution. That's their answer. This is where pandemics aren't just tragedies. This is a business model. And RFK Jr. canceled $500 million in Myrna vaccine research, half a billion gone. And they're screaming about it. Like going crazy. They're saying he's going to get people killed. But nobody's screaming when the research they were funding started a pandemic that literally killed millions. The hypocrisy is so loud, it has its own echo. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning. I'm still digging. But I know this: when the man in charge of Health and Human Services stands up and says, "We are going to stop funding the creation of new diseases," and the system tries to destroy him for it, that tells you everything you need to know about the system. I mean, God gave us an immune system. He gave us bodies that heal. God did not design us to be dependent on the same people who are making us sick. If that's offensive, I would encourage you to ask yourself why you're bothered by that. Why are you bothered that that's offensive? And if you guys have been hanging out with me here on Faith and Fire since the before I went solo, you know this is kind of what radicalized me because this. I don't use that word lightly. This happens. Charlie Kirk's murder was shortly after. I went off the rails. This is Irina Zarutska. She's 23 years old, in case you're new here and you have no idea what I'm talking about. She's a Ukrainian refugee. You know, Ukraine, remember the flag everybody had up for a very long time because we wanted to protect their people, right? That was a thing. Interesting. She gets on a light rail train in Charlotte, North Carolina, August 22nd of last year. She sits down, she's minding her own business, and a man she had never met in her life walks up to her from behind and stabs her to death on a train in front of a lot of people. And everyone just sat there. That man, I don't even know what the hell his name is, had been arrested 14 times. 14 times. 14. Armed robbery, assault, breaking and entering, felony larceny, making threats. He was arrested earlier that year and released without bail by a judge who decided he wasn't a threat. 14 times the system had him. 14 times the system let him go. And on the 15th encounter, a 23-year-old girl paid for it with her life. And now he's been found incapable to proceed. A psychiatric hospital evaluated him and said he can't stand trial. His lawyer wants another 180-day delay. Okay, so what, 6 months? 6 more months that Irina's family has to wait for something that looks like justice, and they may never get it. They may never get it. This is what pisses me off, and I really want you to hear me on this. This man is capable enough to choose a victim, capable enough to all these things he's doing, like he can vote, he can be a part of society. He's capable enough to be interacting on a human level because they let him out 14 times. He's capable enough for that. He's capable enough to choose someone smaller than him. He chooses a woman. He chooses someone sitting alone. He's capable enough to carry a weapon. He's capable enough to be on the train by himself. I didn't see an escort. Capable enough to use the knife. Capable enough to commit 14 crimes before this one. But now, now that it's time to face a consequence, suddenly he's incapable. Like our system had 14 opportunities to stop this. 14. Not one opportunity, not two. 14 chances to say this person is dangerous and should not be walking free. And 14 times they open the door and let him back out. And this is the part that makes me want to throw my microphone across the room. Irina was the exact person that these progressives claimed to fight for. She's a refugee. She was a young woman. She was vulnerable. She virtue signaled with them. I remember seeing a Black Lives Matter thing in when they're showing her personal pictures. She's everything the left says they care about protecting. And when she was murdered on camera in front of us in broad view, where were the marches? Where were the hashtags? Where were the protests? Where were the celebrities posting the little black square? That little black square. Nowhere. Because her death didn't serve the narrative, dummy. Her killer didn't fit the story they wanted to tell, so they just didn't tell it. And they took down all the murals of her because they're divisive. So let that sink into your soul. A memorial to a murdered girl was divisive. And it's not just Charlotte. Look at Chicago. I said it this week already. You know, look at Baltimore, look at Philadelphia, look at any major city where violent crime is exploding and repeat offenders are being cycled through a revolving door. Nobody's marching, nobody's protesting, nobody's burning anything down for the 13-year-old, right, that caught the bullet walking home from school. Nobody's making documentaries about the grandmother who got hijacked, carjacked in a grocery store parking lot. Those deaths are quiet. Those deaths are inconvenient. Those deaths don't get you likes. So where does that leave us as humans, as believers? I will tell you where it leaves me. It leaves me pissed off. I'm angry, and I think God's okay with that. I think there is a righteous anger that he gave us for exactly this reason, for when innocent are devoured and the system shrugs. The Bible says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression. That's Isaiah. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. But here's the tension, and I wrestle with this too. We're also told that vengeance belongs to the Lord. We're told to trust his justice even when man's justice fails. Man's justice is failing spectacularly, repeatedly, and it's intentional. So what do we do with the frustration? We don't swallow it. We don't pretend it's not there. We channel it. We speak. We vote. We refuse to be silent. We name the thing that everyone else is too comfortable to name or afraid to name, that the system is not broken. You know how many times I've said the system is broken? This podcast has taught me it's not broken. It's working exactly the way it was designed to. It was designed to cycle people through. It's designed to keep communities in chaos. It's designed to make you feel helpless so you stop paying attention. It's working. Don't stop paying attention. And I feel like there is a silver lining here, okay? And I want to give it to you because I don't like to leave you guys in despair. That's not what I want to do. Yes, I know the stuff's going to piss you off. Today's going to be a tough conversation. All of it is. Brown is still in federal custody right now. The state said he's incapable, but the feds have not made that call yet. Okay. He was indicted on federal charges for violence on mass transportation resulting in death. And based on his 2015 armed robbery conviction, he could face the death penalty. And North Carolina passed IRENA's law eliminating the cashless bail for certain violent crimes. So that happened because people got loud, because people refused to shut up. And it may not matter at this point, but he cannot get out right now. Okay. IRENA's life mattered. Her death still mattered. And I'll say, I'm going to keep talking about her until I feel like justice has prevailed. Pay attention. It's not going to happen, overnight, but I feel like there is still a possibility that there could be a little justice brought to her family. Okay? We cannot be quiet about this. We cannot forget about people like her. We are the voice now. This one, okay? I need you to look at this little face. Look at this face. Look at him. That's Preston Davey. 13 months old. Cute curly hair. Little bunny pajamas, okay. The kind of face that should make you smile, the kind of baby that should be learning to walk right now, throwing Cheerios on the floor, saying his first words. Preston is dead. He was placed for adoption with two men in England, James Varley and John McGowan, something something. And within months of being placed in that home, this baby was sexually assaulted and murdered. 13 months old, he couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't fight back. He couldn't tell anyone what was happening to him. He couldn't even say stop. Varley is a former high school teacher facing 33 charges, 33 including murder, multiple counts of sexual assault on the baby, cruelty, extreme pornography charges. His partner is facing four charges. Their trial starts April 14th. Both of them have pled not guilty. And I'm not going to go into the details of what was done to the baby. I can't, as a mom, I physically cannot even say it out loud. My heart hurts that I even know, but I need you to understand the gravity of what's happening here. A baby was handed to predators by the system that was supposed to protect him. And here's what I'm going to say. What everybody's thinking and nobody wants to say out loud because you're terrified of being called a bigot, okay? I do not believe two men should ever be adopting babies, not even a single man, ever, period, end of story. And come for me. I don't give a shit. Just listen to this. I'm not saying this from a place of hate. I'm saying this from a place of scripture and biology and common sense. The Bible doesn't support gay anything, not gay marriage, not gay sex, not gay anything. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't vote on it. God said it. So you can be mad at me for reading it to you, but your argument's with him, not me. And the Bible certainly does not endorse two men raising an infant. That's not God's design. It never was. And if we're going to talk biology for a second, because people love to act like science and faith are at war, and they're not. Biology tells you exactly what God already told you. Babies need their mothers. Women were designed, literally, physically, hormonally designed to carry life, to birth life, to nurture life. Your body produces oxytocin when you breastfeed. Your heartbeat regulates your baby's nervous system. A mother's voice is the first sound a baby recognizes in the womb. That is not a social construct. That is not a cultural preference. That is goddamn biology. And every species on this planet, except seahorses, and we're not fucking seahorses, okay? I'm not even saying a single mom should be raising a baby alone. Babies need maternal energy. They need that softness. They need that nurture. And I know that makes people uncomfortable. And I know there are single dads doing their absolute best. And God bless them for it. But doing your best and being what a child was designed to need are two very different conversations. And this case is exactly why we need to have the conversation nobody wants to have, because the social services system placed a baby in the home and didn't ask the hard questions. They were so afraid of being called discriminatory that they handed a child to monsters, and now the baby is dead. Where did protecting children become less important than protecting feelings? When did we decide that a grown adult's right to adopt trumps a baby's right to be safe? When did the child stop being the priority? And I'll tell you when. When we started bowing to culture instead of bowing to God. When we decided that inclusion was more important than protection. When we let the world redefine family because we were too scared to stand on what the word already defined. And if you're sitting there right now thinking, Brandon, that's hateful. No, what's hateful is a dead baby in bunny pajamas. What's hateful is a system that put ideology over innocence. What's hateful is 33 charges against a man who was trusted with a baby who couldn't even say his own name. I will not apologize for believing what I believe. I will not soften it so it goes down easier. A baby is dead from the most horrific experience it could have had in a short life. And the conversation everybody's too polite to have might have saved his life. Protect the children at all costs, over every feeling, every agenda, every political movement. The children come first. That is not negotiable. Not negotiable. After everything I just said, after I felt the rage, after the heartbreak, we see that baby's face. I wanted to follow up with something that is positive for us, because God doesn't leave us in the dark without a match, okay? Idaho, 63-0, not a single lawmaker in either party voted against it. Republicans, Democrats, every single one of them looked at this bill and said yes. The death penalty for child rape, signed into law by Governor Brad Little, takes effect July 1st, 63-0. You know how rare that is? I think this is one of, like, this is so beautiful. This is where I could have a conversation with all of these politicians and absolutely respect their stance on this. This is huge. This is huge. You can't get 63 politicians to agree on what to have for lunch, but you put the protection of children on the table and suddenly everybody remembers what matters. That is what moral clarity looks like. That is what happens when the adults in the room stop playing politics and start protecting babies. And this is what the bill does. If you're convicted of aggravated lewd conduct with a child under 12 years old, you face the death penalty or a minimum of 30 years. Under 12, a child who still believes in the tooth fairy, a child who can't tie their own shoes. If you touch a child, Idaho will end you, period. And I know, like some of you softies are going to be like, Brandon, the death penalty is barbaric. We're better than that. Two wrongs don't make a right. You know what's barbaric? That what was done to Preston Davey. That's barbaric. You know what's barbaric? 13-month-old child who can't even crawl away from his attacker. System hands it to predators and it's called progress. That's barbaric. The death penalty for the person who did it, that is not barbaric. That is justice. And before you tell me that's not Christian of me, let me walk you through your own Bible real quick, okay? Because I think people forget that the God of the New Testament is the same God of the Old Testament. He did not retire and he didn't go soft. Jesus himself said, I'm paraphrasing here, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be thrown into the sea. That's Jesus. Those aren't even my words. That's not a politician either. That's the Son of God telling you that harming children is so grievous that death by drowning would be the merciful option. God appointed judges. You guys know that, right? He appointed warriors. He used people to carry out justice on earth. David killed Goliath. Moses authorized capital punishment. The entire book of Judges is God raising up people to execute justice when the system fails. So don't sit here and tell me that wanting accountability for a child rapist is unchristian. It is the most Christian position that you can hold. And you want to know what the people think? You want to know what people really think about this? Go read the comments on any article today, even about just baby Preston. 90% of those comments, and I'm not exaggerating. Go look. In fact, it's probably more than 90%. These people are calling for wood chippers, public executions, hangings, medieval justice. And yeah, it sounds extreme, right? But you know what really isn't? It's parents, it's mothers and fathers who looked at that baby's face and imagined their own child. And something primal kicks in, something God put inside of us to protect the innocent. That instinct is not wrong. That instinct is holy. Our ancestors understood something we have forgotten. They understood that some crimes are so evil, so fundamentally destructive to the fabric of society, that the only appropriate response is permanent removal. Not rehab, not therapy, not a cushy cell with three meals a day. Removal. Idaho gets it, Florida gets it, Tennessee gets it. That's three states. Five more are actually considering the same legislation right now. And you know what? The Supreme Court ruled in 2008 that the death penalty for child rape was unconstitutional, 5-4. One vote. But the lawmakers who wrote this bill said publicly that they believe today's court would rule differently. I pray for that. They want it challenged. They want it to go back to the Supreme Court so the precedent can change. And I'm standing here saying every state in this country should follow Idaho's lead. Every single one. You want to know how to stop predators? Make the consequence so severe that the risk isn't worth it. Make it clear that if you come for our babies, we're coming for you. And we're not coming with therapy. We're not coming with 14 chances. We're coming with justice. Protect the kids, whatever that takes and whatever it looks like. Protect the kids. I need you guys to sit with a number for a second. 434,450. Now I want you to close your eyes and just imagine if Trump dropped a bomb tomorrow and killed 434,450 people. Imagine if the Department of Defense put out a press release bragging about it. They're bragging about it. Imagine if they called it a record-breaking year. Imagine if they said, we're up 8% from last year, and they popped champagne. The United Nations would convene on emergency session. Okay, CNN would run a death ticker for 6 months straight. Every celebrity on the earth would finally post our little black square. There would be tribunals. There would be war crime charges. Protests in every city on the planet. People would lose their ever-loving minds. They would flip upside down and inside out. But Planned Parenthood does it to babies, and publishes an annual report with a cute little, a force for hope. And somehow that's healthcare? That's progress? You can kill 434,450 human beings in 1 year, and as long as you do it in a clinic instead of a combat zone, it's fine. As long as you call it a service instead of a strike, nobody bats an eye. Hypocrisy. So thick, I feel like I'm choking on it. Trump takes out actual terrorists, people who fund nuclear programs, people who chant death to America, people who kill Christians, people who don't let women have a voice, and the entire left has a meltdown. But Planned Parenthood takes out all these babies, never hurt anybody, never threatened anybody, never even took their first breath. And those same people call it empowerment? Make it make sense to me. I'm happy to have the conversation. God's expanding me. If I want to have the conversation, I'll wait. Make it make sense to me. I will wait because it doesn't. It doesn't make sense, and it never did. And the only reason it's been allowed to continue is because we've let the language do the dirty work. They don't say kill, they say terminate. They don't say baby, they say fetus. They don't say abortion mill, they say reproductive health center. They sanitize the language so you don't have to think about what's actually happening on the table. But I'm going to make you think about it because that's what I do here. Planned Parenthood just set an all-time record. They took in $832 million of your tax money to do it. Nearly half their revenue is from the government. You funded this. I funded this. And we don't even get a choice. Nobody asked us. They just took our money and used it to end lives and then had the audacity to brag about it. While abortions went up 8%, let me tell you guys what went down. Cancer screenings, pap tests, prenatal services, the stuff they claim justifies their existence, the healthcare part has shrunk. The only number that grows every single year is abortion. That's not a healthcare organization, that's an abortion corporation with a healthcare side hustle. It's a murder factory. And I know, come at me. Brandon, what about rape? What about incest? What about the health of the mother? Those cases represent the smallest fraction of abortions in this country, and it is a teeny tiny amount. And the entire industry hides behind those scenarios to justify this assembly line. They use the exception to defend the rule every single time. And I'm going to say what I believe because it's my fucking show, and I can, and I answer to God, not the internet. Abortion is murder. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care what you're defending. I don't care what clinical language you wrap around it. A beating heart was stopped. A life that God knit together in the womb was ended. You could justify it however you need to, but you cannot change what the truth is. And I want to be clear. I am not standing here to condemn women who have had abortions. That's between you and God. And His grace is sufficient. His mercy is real. If you are carrying that weight, and I've seen the weight that it puts on people after they've had the abortions, he can take that from you. And I know that with everything in me. You lay this down at his feet. You come to him asking for forgiveness, and you're going to work this out with him. And I really believe that he's going to cover you, okay? But I will not pretend the act itself is anything other than what it is, because the second we stop calling it what it is, we really lose the ability to fight it. And this is where your vote matters. The defunding that happened, it's only for a year. So this expires on the 4th of July, like 3 months from now, if Congress doesn't extend it and make it permanent. The money flows right back, and next year's report will be even higher. Community health centers actually outnumber Planned Parenthood 15 to 1 in this country. Women have real options, but Planned Parenthood's business depends on you believing that they're the only game in town, and they're not. So the next time somebody tries to tell you President Trump is a monster for defending his country, I want you to ask them how they feel about 434,450 babies. Ask them where the protests are. Ask them where the war crime charges are and watch them go silent. You have to vote like the babies can't because they can't. Okay? They can't. And I know this episode feels a little heavy, kind of. I've been in your chest, I've been in your spirit, and I'm not sorry for it because you need to hear every word of this. But I do want to end on something that actually made me smile today because it just shows that even in a world that feels completely upside down, there are moments where God shows up loud and clear. This is John Cluj, music teacher from Indiana. Man taught at a high school for years, good teacher, loved his job, and the school district came down with a mandate. You will call transgender students by their preferred phone pronouns. You will participate in this, no exceptions. John said no, not because he hated anybody, not because he was trying to be cruel, but because his faith, his sincere, deeply held Christian faith, would not allow him to speak something he believed was a lie. And this is the thing, he didn't even refuse in a disrespectful way. He offered, compromise. He said, I'll call every student by their last name, every single one, no discrimination, no slinging anybody out, just last names across the board, like a coach. Problem solved, right? Nope. The school said that wasn't good enough. They pulled his religious accommodations. They threatened to fire him. He resigned rather than betray his convictions, and then he discovered they'd already locked him out of his email and posted his job as available. After 7 years of teaching, gone, because he wouldn't say she when God made a he. This happened in 2018. He sued after that, under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, religious discrimination. And after almost 7 years of fighting, 7 years, the school district just wrote him a check for $650,000. And on top of that, they have to train their senior staff on how this Title VII, I think, protects religious employees. $650,000, because the truth always wins. It might take 7 years, it might cost you everything in the short term, but it does win. And I want to talk about what this really means, because it's bigger than one teacher and one check. We have been living through an experiment. And I mean that literally. The gender ideology that swept through this country, the pronouns, the labels, the surgeries, the hormones on children, this was tested. It was rallied out through social media. It was intentional. It was amplified by algorithms. It was endorsed by doctors who answered to pharmaceutical companies and big fat paychecks instead of answering to God. And it was almost directly at the most vulnerable people, the kids who feel lost, the kids who wanted to belong, the kids who wanted to be seen. And what do we do? We told them the answer was to reject the body that God gave them. We told them a surgeon could fix that what was never broken. We told them that if they just changed their name, changed their pronouns, changed their entire identity, they'd finally be happy, and they're not. The depression didn't go away. The anxiety didn't go away, because you can't medicate a spiritual crisis. God made two genders. That's it. That's the list. If you were born with male anatomy, you are a boy. If you were born with a female anatomy, you're a girl. No amount of drug will change your chromosomes. No surgery rewrites your DNA. You can alter the outside, dress however you want, but you cannot change what God wrote into every single cell of your body. I know that makes people furious. I get that. I've been called every name you can think of. I've been blocked. I've been reported. This episode will be no exception. People will flag it. People will come for me in the comments. I'll get told to kill myself in Messenger. Guess what? It's fine. Because my feelings do not matter more than the truth, and neither do yours. Pronouns are not compassion, they are compliance, and there's a very big difference between loving someone and lying to them. Love tells the truth even when the truth is uncomfortable. That's not hate. That's the most loving thing you can do for another human being. And John Kluge proved that. You can stand in that truth and the system will bend. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually it bends, because it has to. Because truth is heavier than ideology every single time. I know I covered a lot today: vaccines and misinformation, gain of function and labs playing God, a justice system that protects criminals, fails victims, just another day in the United States of America. Our baby in the bunny pajamas did not deserve what happened to him. States stepping up, we're protecting children with real consequences. The abortion, all of these things, okay? This is the thing. There is a common thread that runs through all of this. We have been lied to. Systematically, deliberately, by media, by institutions, by politicians on both sides, by influencers who've sold their convictions for money. And the only antidote to the lie is the truth. Not your truth, not my truth, but the truth, the one that existed before social media, the one that was written before any government was formed, the one that doesn't change based on who's in office or what's trending. I need you to vote, not for personalities, not for vibes, not because someone made a funny TikTok or gave a good speech. Vote for policies. Read the bills. Understand what your representatives are actually doing, not what they're posting. Okay, stop following the social media sellouts who will say whatever keeps the algorithm happy, and start following your convictions. Your Bible is not outdated, babe. Your faith is not a weakness. Your discernment is not paranoia. And your voice, your specific voice, matters more than you think it does. This has been another incredible episode of Faith and Fire, God and Country. I'm Brandon Lynette. Make sure you guys share this episode and you've subscribed if you are tired of the upside down and kind of the bullshit. We're gonna walk in the truth here. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in.